2, your daily briefing, March the 28th, 2017. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, that you have given us another day where we can study and learn. We come into your presence asking that you would continue to guide us in the path of righteousness. Help us as we observe the things around us and compare it with God's word, knowing that you indeed have our welfare always at heart. We ask that you would be with our families, be with our children. We ask that you would help us to be a living example, reflecting your character always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been having quite a number of exciting events occur. Within the last few days, we've seen a bill put forward by the Trump administration regarding health care. We've seen that bill pulled and not voted on. And we've seen some people who have actually been making some noise with regard to whether or not the present president is going to be president for a long time. Don't know where their arguments are coming from. But I thought I would talk a little bit today on the 28th of March about an article that was published in the Daily KOS website. That's the Daily KOS website. It was published at the beginning of the year, January the 2nd, 2017. Now, the name of the article, and it's quite exhaustive, but we're going to spend some time taking a look at this. The name of the article is Mike Pence is a Theocrat. Now, of course, Mike Pence, as you know, is the standing vice president. So let me read the entire topic for you. Mike Pence is a theocrat. His Christian supremacist followers seek to take over America. Seriously. Now, that's the name of the topic. Let me give it to you again. Mike Pence is a theocrat. His Christian supremacist followers seek to take over America. Seriously. This is in the Daily KOS website, KOS, Daily KOS, KOS. It was published on Monday, the 2nd of January, 2017. All right, let's take a look at this article, and I want you to know that the Daily KOS is not a religious publication, so let's take a look. It starts out this way. Despite all the hand-wringing and hysteria about the upcoming presidency of Donald Trump, the plain truth is that the Trump campaign stated in no uncertain terms that Vice President Mike Pence will in fact be in charge of foreign and domestic affairs. What will that look like? Again, plainly, Mike Pence is not only the de facto leader of the Republican Party, which is no longer the party of conservatism, but is now the party of nationalism. But more importantly, Mike Pence is at the head of another far more dangerous Republican group, the Christian supremacists, who are committed to taking over the government of the United States of America. Preposterous, you say? Please read further. Now, I'm reading. That's not my comment. That's what the article says. Preposterous, you say? Please read further. Now, remember the group that they say he is a member of, Christian supremacists. And incidentally, there has been so much concentration on the president himself and some of his tweets and some of the things that he says and what he says or whether it's true or not, that we haven't really paid a lot of attention to Mike Pence, which is perhaps something that he does not mind at all. So let's continue to read the article. Mike Pence found religion at approximately the same time that he found a way to succeed in politics. When asked about his religious conversion, Pence has stated that listening to a Christian music festival in college called him to Jesus. However, Pence's appearance on the airwaves and his appearance at Grace Evangelical Church in Indianapolis both took place in the late 80s, early 90s, and perhaps coincidentally. Pence's start in radio came when he lost a second congressional race in 1988 and was commiserating in his law office when he got a call from a Rushville, Indiana woman, Sharon Dissinger, who made him an offer he couldn't refuse. Dissinger wanted Pence to host a talk show on her small radio station in Rush County. Dissinger told Pence that his hero, Ronald Reagan, got his start in radio, and it goes without saying that Pence had other heroes, notably Rush Limbaugh, whose fame on the airwaves Pence openly aspired to. So he was in his law office. Let's just pause and make that out. He was in his law office when he got this call that he could be on the radio. Now, of course, he's now a Christian. He's a lawyer. He's going to be on radio. Continuing. Pence's primary hero, however, was evangelist James Dobson. Dobson invited Pence on his radio show on October the 5th, 2016, and Pence proclaimed that being interviewed by Dobson was the greatest honor of my entire life. Dobson is virulently anti-gay, as is Pence. Dobson is the founder of two anti-gay organizations, Focus on the Family and the Family Research Council. And through those two groups, Dobson proselytizes anti-gay hate doctrines thinly veiled with evangelical and pro-family language. And, of course, he blames the tragic shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary on same-sex marriage. Let me continue. Mike Pence followed Sharon Dissinger's advice that keeping one's name out of the public ear was crucial to success in politics, and Pence's ego soon became inflated with the relative success of the Mike Pence Show, which would eventually be syndicated to 18 Indiana right-wing stations. Unquestionably, Rush was proud, and Pence discovered the power of mass media when he became a local celebrity and actually was able to win his bid to Congress in 2000. Pence credited it all to the Rushville station, where the restrooms were marked Olivia for the women and Elton for the men because they were both Johns. Quipped owner Dissinger, apparently the Dorothy Parker of Rush County, Indiana. All right, so you're getting a picture now of who this man is, and so far it doesn't seem like if there is too much of an issue. But most of what we've read so far is introductory. It gives you an idea as to where he came from, his fact that he's a lawyer, the fact that he's a broadcaster. So let's continue. Pence continued broadcasting his holy mixture of politics and religion, famously stating of the Republican convention that he was a Christian first, a conservative second, and a Republican third. Pence and his allies in evangelical circles, headed by the televangelist and the right-wing radio talk show hosts, which are the governing board of the Garden Variety Christian Evangelicals of today, were making lots and lots of plans. And here is where it gets strange. Now, you've got to follow this through here because you get a feel for exactly where he is. The next paragraph says this. One recalls Adolf Hitler and the rise of German fascism. Hitler started out preaching his form of political gospel in the beer halls of Germany, where he frequently got a standing ovation. He honed his message there. Word of Hitler speaking came to the ears of Dietrich Eckhart, who was a famous German playwright and political activist, specifically the founder of the German Workers' Party. Eckhart was also an occultist, and the occult society that he belonged to had predicted the coming of a German Messiah who would lead the workers forward. Think of Eckhart as Morpheus and Hitler as Neo from The Matrix, and you have the concept. So Eckhart, mesmerized by Hitler and wealthy and influential, convinced his equally wealthy and influential friends to embrace Hitler as the one, and they did, and put their bank accounts behind Hitler, and got him onto the radio and into the newsreels as well. Hitler and his followers took Eckhart's Workers' Party and morphed it into the Nazi Party. Now here's what the writer of this article in the Daily Kos continues and how he compares those two. He says, in parallel fashion, Mike Pence and the Republicans took the party of the conservatism and morphed it into the party of nationalism, that is, white supremacy. Groups which were previously fringe in the Republican Party, to wit, the Nazis and the KKK, heretofore languishing and diminishing in numbers, found themselves in 2016 flourishing in a way unprecedented in this century and most of the last. There is a thread of commonality shared by the Nazis and the KKK, which is, of course, white supremacy. The white supremacy theme is amplified and echoed by the Christian supremacists, or evangelicals, who also see the traditional white race, people of Northern European descent, and with a Bible in hand as God's chosen people. Now, this article here is dealing with an issue that has shown itself in a number of places. It has shown itself in the Dominionist movement. It has also shown itself in the Reconstructionist movement. We've talked briefly about men like Rush Dooney, who wrote his book. He's known to be a Reconstructionist. Rush Dooney believes that biblical slavery is quite okay. It's the sort of thing that is allowable. He also believes that those people who were taken as slaves and brought to this country were done a favor. If you find that in his book, the name of his book is Institutes of Biblical Law. Institutes of Biblical Law. That's Rush Dooney's book. And of course, he establishes that as the principle of bringing the United States of America and back the entire world back to be ruled by biblical Old Testament law. The other name that you should become familiar with is Gary North. Gary North. He's also a Reconstructionist Dominionist. They have the same point of view. They have the concept of racial divide. They also believe in the concept of slavery, legitimate slavery, they call it. So you can easily see why these individuals here exist and what their plans are, how they plan to work the country. This point of view has also affected some of the attitudes that have been expressed with regard to the healthcare bills. The whole idea that those who have money should pay taxes or contribute to the health care of those who do not have enough money to purchase their own coverage or, you know, to buy their own coverage, conflicts with their theology. They believe that if a person is poor, then it means they're not blessed. And if a person is rich, it means that they're blessed. Of course, you see this in some of the preachers on the television, the prosperity preachers. They believe that God wants everyone to be rich, and therefore, if you have something and you have lots of it, then it means that you're just rich. And if you're poor and if you're in need, it means that you're in a sad situation. That would take you back to the scriptures when you begin to look at that young man who came to Jesus and said, "What lack I yet? I mean, I've done pretty much all that the Bible has said." And Jesus zeroed in on one point in particular, one point. And he said, "Sell all thou hast and give to the poor." And that was a bridge too far for that young man. Couldn't see himself doing that. Now, when you compare that with the 12 disciples who left all and followed Jesus, and they're all men, their nets, their boats, everything that they had, I think I can hear you saying, well, they didn't have much to leave. Well, the point is not what they had to leave. The point is that what they had, they were willing to leave. But you look around you today and you see that kind of attitude. And I think in our next session, we'll take a look a little closer at the thinking and the theological position that these people express. So you're seeing this direct connection between wealth and selfishness, and the fact that there are those who believe that one race is chosen and the rest of the races are not. The one thing that will be surprising here is that based on the article here found in the Daily Course, the vice president has this point of view. Now, I want you to recognize that what I'm reading for you here is from the Daily Ecos, and this is what they're saying here. Let me continue here a little bit further in the article, and I would suggest that you try to get this article for yourself and read it. It's about 6 to 8 pages. We're not going to do all of those pages. But listen to this. Another point of ideology shared by the white supremacists and the Christian supremacists is the idea of patriarchal supremacy. The doctrine of the Christian supremacists is the same, if not more pronounced, than the Nazis or the KKK, where the natural role of the sexes is concerned. And the view on so-called deviant sexual behavior are identical in all three groups. The LGBTQ people are bad, period. And the heterosexual women choosing abortions or even inadvertently having miscarriages are circumspect as well. Sexual behavior is the main plank in the broad platform supporting the new Republican Party, and particularly the Christian alt-right under the loving guidance of religious fanatic Mike Pence and his friends and mentors in the evangelical, televangelical world. Now, here's the sentence that really catches my attention. The need to control other people's sexual behavior is the most emotional doctrine of the Christian supremacists and fuels their drive for power. And that is why you are going to find, I mean, this is me commenting now, that is why you're going to find that in any of the health care options that they put forward or that they allow to be put forward, there are certain kinds of coverage that will not be financed and at some point will ultimately be outlawed. So let's continue for a little bit further before we close this out. During the 1980s, I began taping and transcribing Pat Robertson's 700 Club show because of the alarming anti-Christian political philosophy he was endorsing. He began a drumbeat for drastic political and cultural changes in this country. Now, this is Pat Robertson's 700 Club they're talking about. Robertson's guests did something I'd never seen before. They reversed the scriptures and called it immoral for the citizens to help the poor through taxation, which, by the way, is expressly required in the Old Testament. The accusation was that it's not taxation the accusation was and is that taxation robbed the rich to help the poor. Now, I'm going to read that part, that paragraph again, because this is, well, based on the way it's laid out here, this is about the middle of page 3. It says this: Robertson's guests did something I'd never seen before. They reversed the scriptures and called it immoral for the citizens to help the poor through taxation, which, by the way, is expressly required in the Old Testament. The accusation was and is that taxation robbed the rich and to help the poor. And then there in the article, the writer of the article has suggested another area that you can go take a look. The writer says, if you are interested in how the movement reversed Judeo-Christian standards, see Blood Guilty Churches. That's the name of a book, Blood Guilty Churches, which is available at Amazon. Now, continuing the article, it says, Pat Robertson slowly introduced the idea of an American empire. He attacked pluralism and pleaded that the people of the U.S. must speak with one voice. The idea of taking over and controlling the United States government began with a series of guest appearances. I'm still reading now, still reading. On April 4, 1985, Billy Graham appeared on the show and in a startling announcement said, I'm for evangelicals getting control of the Congress, getting control of the bureaucracy, getting control of the executive branch of government. If we leave it to the other side, we're going to be lost. Let me just go back and tell you what I'm reading from in case you just joined us here. This is Daily Kos, Monday, January the 2nd, 2017. The name of the article is Mike Pence is a Theocrat. His Christian supremacist followers seek to take over America. And then it says the word seriously. Continuing, on September the 25th, 1985, Tim LaHaye appeared in a film clip with Phyllis Schlafly on the show. In that clip, he laid out the plan to take over the government of the United States. He said, suppose that every Bible-believing church, all 110,000, decided to raise up one person to run for public office and win. If every church in the next 10 years did that, we would have more Christians in office than there are positions. There are only 97,000 elective offices. Though the idea of right-wing religious conservatives controlling the U.S. government appears to be a pipe dream to most observers I talked with, for the churchgoers who are listening, and by 1985, Robert's 900 Club topped the Nielsen ratings with a projected monthly viewing audience of 28.7 million viewers. To those viewers, the idea of gaining and holding the power of this country was a tantalizing and intriguing concept. They began to accept the idea of dominating America step by step. Now, this is serious, because when you add what the Daily Kos is saying here and you add that to what you've seen happening with the promises made by the President of the United States to the evangelicals that he would remove the wall that separates church and state. Now you're beginning to get a picture of exactly how serious these individuals are in the first place. Now this is serious, and you know, we haven't gotten all the way through this. I think that maybe what I should do is continue this same article in our next session, because I want you to get a view of where we are, and then we can take a look at some other things. But so we've been looking at the vice president here, and I know that he has not become the issue of the news. It has not been as big a deal as the mistakes and the missteps and the misstatements of the president of the United States. But I do believe that you and I need to understand that there are more elements at play here than might immediately meet the eye. We have come to a place in our lives today where we need to be very careful in our observation, making sure that we are not sidetracked in any way and that we do not see the path ahead. And as I said before, there are those who are making noises about having the present president step down. Don't know that that could ever happen. Once in the history of this country it has occurred, and it has occurred because President Nixon did what he did, and so it's not likely that something like that will happen. But I want you to understand that the elements that you are playing with here or thinking about or considering will not go away. The people who at this very moment are in control of or influencing very seriously the bills and the plans that are occurring in the party and in the country will not go away. Even if you change your president, even if you go in an entirely different direction, because this has been something that they have been working on for quite a while and will continue to do so. So as we go forward, let us understand what the Word of God has promised. This country will get to the place where the liberty that we have taken for granted will go away. We will no longer speak with as a lamb-like beast, but we will ultimately speak as a dragon. And you and I need to be extremely prepared for that time to come, making sure that we are willing and ready to stand with God under all circumstances. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wisdom, for your warnings. And as we look at what we are seeing around us, we ask that you would help us to be prepared for the days to come. May you continue to guide us, protect us, and most importantly, to guard, guide, and protect our children so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is today's daily briefing, March the 28th, 2017.